Church today, man. Good to be here to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Good to have my grandson here, amen. It's always good to have him. It's good to have visitors, amen. As I already mentioned, good to have John with us, amen. This is just a blessing to my heart to have him here, amen. He trained your pastor when he went to work down at Eno Baron years ago, amen. I don't know if he done any good, but that was one of the men that helped train me, amen. I remember we had that bad snowstorm. What year was that we had that bad snowstorm? Remember that? 2000. John Creech come pick me up in his four-wheel drive, carry me to work. I don't know if he's looking out for me then or not, amen. Could have left me at home, Drew a check, amen. But he'd come pick me up, amen. Good to see him at church with us, amen. Acts chapter number 9. He's down there with Timmy now, so y'all know he needs prayer, amen. Me and James Martin done left him. Amen. Acts chapter number 9. Well, thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Thank God for His good spirit. Amen. Good singing today. Amen. I got a little simple thought. I prayed it to be a blessing to you. Just want to brag on the Lord a little bit today. He sure is worthy to be bragged on. Amen. Amen. You can't brag on Him enough. Amen. He inhabiteth the praises of Israel, and I know He inhabiteth the praises of His saints. Amen. And He is worthy to be praised. Acts chapter number 9, we'll read one verse of scripture, we'll go to the Lord in prayer and give you a little introduction of what's going on with this chapter and then the thought for today. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts 9, 31. The Bible says, then, so after these things had came to pass, then, at that moment, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Then at that moment, he said, the churches had rest. So apparently there were no rest to the churches. And this took place throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And these churches were edified. Thank God edification comes from somebody preaching the book. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. They feared God, amen, because a good preaching and teaching and the Holy Ghost's work could put fear of God in your heart. And in comfort, thank God He gives comfort of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said they will multiply. So if you will, the Lord added to the church, as He said earlier in the book of Acts, such as He had seen need. So let's ask the Lord's help today and preach this morning what God's put on our heart. Brother Jeff Thomas, how about pray for us, brother? Yes, Lord, yes. Help us, Lord, yes. Yes, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, yes. Amen. All of God's people said?
Amen.
Acts chapter 9. Amen. If you know anything about studying your Bible, I know a lot of you do. It's a very, pivotal chapter within the book. Amen. Which is a lot of stages that take place in the book of Acts. It's transitional, if you will, that lead to other things. But up to this point in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, the church has been through much persecution. I mean, a lot of persecution has taken place. The church is birthed as an organism in chapter 2, chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. The next seven chapters, if you will, meaning that number of completion, the church has had lots of persecution. A lot of attack has been on the church at Jerusalem and also in other places, amen, which caused the church to begin to spread and multiply as it does in the book of Acts. There had been a lot of threats that take place within those seven chapters. They had been threatened to shut up about their preaching. They was going to beat them. They was going to kill them. They had been beaten in several times. They'd been stoned as Stephen was in Acts chapter number 7. There'd been a lot of imprisonments. The church had been a lot of attack. Amen. Hey, some have even been killed. Amen. A lot of persecution went on the church. And I kind of believe personally, before the Lord raptured the churches out, this thing's kind of going to go full circle back to the way it does at the beginning when God birthed it, where there's a lot of persecution on the church. Churches will be attacked. They're going to try to shut you up with hate speeches. take away from your Bible, take away your worship of God. I'm not trying to be doomsday today. Amen. We're getting out of here. Thank God the Lord's coming back. Amen. But it's not looking good the way the direction our world's going in. They're attacking anything that is religious, that's right, that stands for God. And it might come just like it was, where some might even be in prison or being killed or beaten or threatened to shut up. Amen. Hey, but the trouble in chapter number 9 comes to an end in the end of the chapter where the Bible says, then had the churches rest. There was no rest while they were being persecuted. There was no rest while they were being imprisoned and being beaten and being scattered abroad. Amen. Hey, but something took place. Amen. And what took place was a major person that was involved in the persecution, the Apostle Paul, we know him as, but the Bible records him as Saul in Acts 9, got saved. Hey, when you get saved, it'll change a lot of mess. Amen. Amen. The salvation of the Apostle Paul, caused rest to all the churches in Judea and Samaria. And they begin to edify, and people begin to get saved. Amen. Hey, thank God when I got saved, it gave some rest to my soul, and it gave some rest to people around me. Amen. Hey, when you get saved, it'll cause rest to you and rest to others. Amen. Amen. This is what is taking place. Hey, and I want to preach to you on this thought out of this text. Might be a little stretchy a little bit. You stay with me. I believe you'll get it. Amen. And I want to kind of clarify the statement, but let me make the statement. I want to preach on this thought. Why I love my church. Why I love my church. Amen. And listen, I want to clarify. Number one, when I say my church, I am not saying it belongs to me. The church don't belong to me, amen. I've just been called the pastor of the church, but this is not my building. I don't own the dirt. I don't own the land. I don't own the sheetrock or the shingles, amen. Hey, but this is where God put me, amen. And I believe you ought to be able to say the same thing I'm saying this morning. I thank God for my church, amen. I love my church, amen. Hey, I'm not only not saying that it belongs to me, I'm not bragging on me or you. I'm bragging on the God that put it together, amen. Hey, it's God's place of worship, amen. I want to praise God for the great things the Bible says he have done, amen. You know what the psalmist said in Psalms 1:26-3? The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Do you know everybody ought to say that statement this morning? We ought to be able to say it, amen, us that belong to this assembly of believers. Why I love my church. Thank God I got a place to come and worship God. Thank God I got friends to love with, amen, and serve God with, and hey, be a witness to the world and get some comfort in times of trouble, amen. Hey, thank God what God had done, amen. This Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord. Hey, he's the one that's worthy. It's not me. It's not you. We're not bragging on ourselves. Hey, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, God created this church for his pleasure. Hey, that we might be able to come together and worship the Lord and sing the songs of Zion and brag on how good God has been to us. Hey, give my Bible and turn with me to Psalms 145. Brother James Martin sent me a text the other day about the goodness of the Lord. And he asked me the question. He said, preacher, you know, seems like, you know, when God does good to us, if we begin to talk about what God's doing in our lives spiritually, how he's working on our lives, it kind of comes across sometimes like we're bragging. And the last thing anybody wants to do is brag on their cell. But at the same time, how do you find a balance between that thing? Well, I'm bragging on what God has done, for you not to perceive that I'm bragging, but I'm just praising God for his goodness. You know, one thing about it, you know, I do care about what others think and how they perceive it, amen. I believe that ought to be a mentality that we have. Hey, but God knows the heart, amen. If we're going to brag on God, we can't worry about somebody causing us not to brag on God because they might think we're bragging on ourselves. Amen. God's word, I'm glad God saved my soul. That is bragging on God, pulling my life out of the pits of hell and set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my goings, amen. And I ought to be able to stand up and say that with a clear conscience, not thinking that you're thinking I'm bragging on myself. But I'm praising the God that saved my soul. Amen. I know what kind of mess I was in. I know the direction my life was going. I know if it wasn't for God intervening in my life, I would not be where I am today. We ought to be able to, with a clear conscience, say, God is good to me. And God is doing this, or God's doing that in my life. Or God is giving me victory over this, because God is worthy of our praise. I sent him back this passage of scripture. I want to read it with you. Psalms 145, look in verse 1. The Bible says this, Psalms 145, 1. I will extol thee, my God. Who is? The psalmist is. David is. He's lifting up the Lord. O King, he said, I will bless thy name forever and ever. That we ought not never cease praising God. We ought to be able to lift up his holy name. The psalmist said, every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. He says that twice right there, amen. I mean, he said, I'm just going to bless the Lord every day. He says, great is the Lord. Is he not great? Greatly to be what? Praised. Hey, God's greatly to be praised. You know why we do what we do? Because of what the Bible says we to do, amen. Hey, you know why I praise the Lord? Because the Bible, the psalmist and the saints of God down through history have praised the Lord. You know why I praise the Lord? Because God's been good to me, amen. And I ought to be able to lift up my voice to God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. It's kind of like he said over in the book of Ephesians this morning. It's, you know, no height, no depth, man. It's above what we can even ask or think what God does for us. It's unsearchable. I mean, hey, I don't know, you know. It's kind of hard to explain how good God is, but I like trying, don't you? I like bragging on him, amen. I might get my tongue twisted up, and my wife will let me know I made up about 7 words doing it, amen. You know I'm good for making up a word here and there, amen. Hey, but I'm telling you, my heart's clear and my heart's pure. I just want to praise God. God's been good to me, amen. I want the voice to come out clear. And I want all my words to be right and not be double negative or triple negatives. But it really don't matter. God's worthy and he's to be praised. Amen. And God just wants you to praise him for who you are. I don't want to start praising the Lord and God look down and say, is that him? You know, if I didn't throw a double negative in every once in a while, the Lord might think, I ain't me. You know? That ain't that no Southern hick I say. That's a Yankee right there. No, I ain't a Yankee, man. I'm a Southern hick saved by the good grace of God, amen. And ain't he good, amen, to know how it feels, amen. Hey, we're going to praise the Lord for his goodness. The Bible said in verse 4, look at this. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Down through history, you know what generations have done? We praise the Lord for his mighty acts one to another. And we ought to be able to stand up and say, boy, God done this for me. And God done that for them. And God done that here. Amen. And one generation after another, we ought to be able to bless the Lord for what he's done. I read the blessings in the Old Testament. The children of Israel could stand up and say, man, we was in Egypt. And God sent Moses down there and took us across the Red Sea. And they told the other saints of God and their children about it. Amen. And they just bragged on the mighty acts of God. Our children ought to hear us brag on the mighty acts of God. How God saved me. How God delivered me. How God called me, how God brought me out of this, how God lift me up, how good God is, amen. We're to declare it to the generations. Hey, by the way, the Bible asked, amen, who's going to declare his generation? We're to declare the generation of the Lord. He said, I will speak of the glorious honor and thy majesty. Is he not honorful? Is he not honor? Is there not majesty about the Lord? He said, of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the mighty and thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. We ought to all ought to be able to say amen right there. Amen. If it wasn't for God being slow to anger and being full of compassion, we'd all be dead today. Amen. Thank God he's merciful. I think about when I was lost, the way I lived, God should have killed me a long time ago, put me in hell. But God was merciful and long-suffering towards me. Hey, since I've been saved, God's been merciful and long-suffering to me. Thank God his compassion's forevermore, amen. And they're new every morning, amen. Hey, God is good to the saints of God, amen. Let me say, number one, why do I love my church? I love my church number one because of the family atmosphere. And you know how many times, I don't know, you've seen it in some of the group texts the men sent out every once in a while, and how the women, I don't read the women's group texts, you know. Hey, but you know what I've heard one time after another, and somebody just bragging on God about the family of the church. Hey, thank God it's a family, man. And thank God family cares for family. And thank God when family members suffer, other people suffer. Hey, when family members rejoice, others rejoice. Amen. I thank God and I love my church because it's a family atmosphere. Amen. Amen. I'm coming here. I feel comfortable. Hey, you my people's. Amen. I feel comfortable at my church. Hey, I thank God I get to go around the world and preach the gospel. Man, God's been good to me. I mean, I've been outside the country. I've been inside the country. I've been everywhere from Alaska down up north and down south. And God took an old hick, let him travel the world. Couldn't ever get out of Richmond County. God's been good to me. But you know what? Hey, it's nothing like, I'm kind of like Dorothy every once in a while. I want to click my heels again. There's no place like home. I like getting right here in this old hick town hamlet and getting in my old wood pulpit and taking that old book with the saints of God and my family members and just worshiping the goodness of God, listening to the songs of Zion. Hey, I thank God. I love my church because it's a family, amen. Amen. The family atmosphere of the church. And I know some of you said the same thing, and thank God you feel the same way. Hey, thank God I feel at home in my church, amen. Hey, I love, you know what I love? I love about the family. I love watching these kids grow up. Man, I love that. I don't know how that'll thrill your heart. Man, you know you shouldn't covet and you shouldn't be jealous. You know how jealous it was when all these y'all get started getting grand young because I didn't have one? And why do you think I take him to the pulpit? Amen. I let him preach with me if he wanted to. He takes a running spell because I'm picking him up and I'm preaching with him. Amen. I love it, man. But you know what? I love your children just like mine, man. He's my family, man. Your children are my children, amen. My children, your children. I'm not talking about some court thing, you know, we all together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know what I mean, amen. It's family, you know. Hey, my brothers, my sisters, like seeing these kids get up here and do the memory verses on Sunday night. Man, that thrills my heart. And they say a verse, it's like one of my youngins said a verse, man. Hey, that thrills me, amen. The family of the church, amen. I love my church because of the family atmosphere, amen. I love watching them grow, amen. Hey, we watch these children mature. Hey, we watch them fight, man. I mean, some of them fist blows, amen. We've seen it all, amen. Anything happen, they say anything happened down south in the Baptist church. Hey, we've seen it all, but man, I thank God for the family, amen. Amen. The singing and the worship of God and the growth in their lives, amen. Just a family atmosphere. The book of Corinthians, Paul spoke over there in 1 Corinthians 12, and he talked about when one of the members suffer, all the members suffer. And when one rejoices, they all rejoice. That's the way the church is, man. Hey, when somebody gets an ailment, somebody's going through something, amen, we're requesting prayer and we're praying for them, hoping they get better, amen. Hey, when they're doing good and God's blessing them, we just bragging God that God's been good to them and God's been blessing them, amen. Hey, when one of them gets a family member that leaves church and goes the way of the world, hey, we praying God to bring them back just like they praying to bring them back. It's just like losing one of your own youngest, amen. It's just like losing one of your own spouse or something in your life like that. It affects your life because they're family, amen.
Amen.
Well, the devil don't like that. The devil don't even want you to think like that about the church. The devil wants you to compare yourselves among yourselves and think, well, their family's here and mine ain't. They think they're better than me. Hey, if anybody feels like that, they need to get right with God.
Amen.
Man, when one of them's out, it breaks my heart. It could be my youngin' that's out. Hey, man, if one of their grand youngins leave, God forbid it be my grand youngin' to go out the way of the world. Hey, it ought to hurt us like that. We're to be felt with their pains and their suffering, amen. And we're to pray for them and lift them up. And I believe we got that kind of spirit around here. It's a family atmosphere, and I thank God for my church, amen.
Amen.
I love it because of the family atmosphere. I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't have it no other way, amen. Hey, thank God for the family of God. Be able to spend time with them and worship God with them. And we do everything together, man. Hey, we preach together. We worship together. We sing together, amen. We play games together. We go camping together. We go and hunt together, amen, Lord willing, at the end of the year. We're going to go try to kill an elk with my family. My two sons, my brother, and Brother Jeff and Brother Ted and whoever else wants to ride, we going, man. We might not kill nothing, but we're going to have a good time. We family, amen. Nothing like it, amen. Hey, I just love it, amen, because of the family atmosphere. Can I say number two? I love my church. My church. And I'm not bragging on you. You heard me in my introduction. Don't go. You leave that alone. I'm talking about you ought to be able to feel the same way. I love it because of the faith that it produces. I love to see the faith that's being produced out of our church. That's another reason why I love my church, amen. The one God's allowed me to be in, amen. The faith that it produces in salvation and obedience. And you know why we had a good baptism the other day? Because faith was produced, amen, from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that, amen. You know how many churches have been a long time since they've been any word in the baptism? And man, we baptized. I told you I'd make up a word in a minute, and I just caught myself that time. I usually don't catch myself. And we baptized. See, I told you. Well, when they, some of them stepped their toes in the water, it was kind of cold, wasn't it, amen? So it can, might be a little bit truth in it. You know where that come from? The faith that was produced from the Word of God.
Amen.
Ain't nobody going to get saved without that faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is.
Amen.
You know what I like? I like to see the faith that's being produced in people when people begin to realize that He is. When these young children are getting up and doing what's right, like the brother said this morning, amen. There's a reason why you get them to do right. You know, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go. It's all about training them. It's all about putting it out outwardly. That one day, amen, they're going to see it and they're going to want it inwardly. Amen. We're to do that outward stuff, and it's the right thing to do, amen. And the right thing, the reason, the motive for doing the outward thing is that it might cultivate something down in their heart, which is going to change their lives forever. Now, if your outward motive is just to kind of make yourself look good because your kids do good, that ain't the right motive. It needs to be a motive that it's going to cultivate salvation in their life, that they learn to respect authority and do right, that they might respect the authority of the Word of God and do right by God and be saved, amen. Hey, but I love seeing the faith that's being produced in people like that. These kids, you've watched them, man. I've watched them. I like watching them. And they grow up and they just kind of go through the motions, and they go and they say the verses and they just got a clear conscience. And then they get a little bit older and they get a little shy. They start realizing that, hey, somebody's looking at me. That's growth. And then they got to juggle that act of, I'm going to either be shy or I'm going to stand up bold for my Lord. And then you watch them start getting bold. And then you start to watch them taking on roles. Hey, you watch all these young adults. They're young adults now. They ain't kids no more. Up here today singing.
That's right.
You know what happened in those kids' lives? We've watched them grow up right before our eyes.
Amen.
Right. Hey, man, them kids up there, I believe the majority of them, all of them, you know, trying to do what's right by God. Are they perfect? No, neither one of us are. But they're trying to do what's right.
Amen.
You know what? I remember one time they weren't all trying to do what's right.
Right.
I remember a time they couldn't even have to get along with one another. Just like your little kids can't get along with one another right now. You know why they schism and fights? There ain't reason they did, amen. But you know what? We watch the faith of the Word of God cultivate something in their lives, and they get serious with God, and now they're using their abilities and talents for the glory of God, amen. These young people are growing up, taking on roles, and leading choirs, and getting in Sunday school teaching classes, and teaching, amen, and leading children in the ways of righteousness. Thank God for the growth that is produced in their lives, amen. And you watch the saints of God go through battles and go through trials in their life. And the Word of God gives them faith to keep pressing on. They just keep putting one foot in front of another. By the grace of God, I'm going to go through it. Hey, they go down by the graveside and lay spouses in the grave. Amen. That rips their heart apart. Hey, but the faith in the Word of God just keeps them pressing on. And we know, amen, it's just for a little while. And God's going to reunite them back together. Amen. Just keep pressing on. And to cheer your heart to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And it's the faith that's produced in the church. And a bunch of dead, dried up people, man. People that are actively applying the Word of God to their lives. Faith to work for God. Faith to make it through. Faith to go through another trial. Faith to make it another day. Hey, faith that produces people stepping up and the new roles and responsibilities within the church. We watching it right before our eyes. Who's going to be next? I don't know, but I love watching it. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen, amen. I'm talking about why I love my church, because of the faith that it produces. I love seeing the Holy Ghost stir on hearts to bring people into obedience to God. I mean, if we ever lose that sight and that vision, we've lost it all, man. I love to see what faith is produced in the church. Hey, number three, I love the foundation that it stands upon. You know why I love my church? Because of what it stands on. You know what? What are we standing on? You remember what the text said over in Acts chapter 9? They were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:31. That church, amen, it stood on what was right. You know what we stand on? We stand on this old book right here. We're not standing on some creed or some laws or books from somebody else. We stand on what God breathed and what God gave us. We're not standing on what the Baptists believe. I believe the Baptists has got it right to a certain extent. But I'm not standing on the Baptist creed. And I don't believe anybody should stand on any other kind of religious creed. The creed is the book that we have in our hands. Amen. Hey, we stand on the Word of God. That's our authority. Amen. People say, I have people ask me, especially lately, I've had people ask me, say, preacher, well, what is an independent Baptist? That's what we are. We independent Baptists. What's an independent Baptist? Well, simply put, if you wanted a definition of an independent Baptist, it simply means that we are not dictated around by any association. We've got one authority, and it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have the authority of the preacher telling me what to do, because the preacher is going to make up the way he thinks it ought to be done. Or some other priest or other preacher or other authority, amen. Hey, it doesn't matter what they say. Only thing that matters is what saith the Lord. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Hey, our authority ought to be the Word of God, amen. That's why I love my church, because hey, it's standing on the solid foundation of the Word of God. The foundation's right, man. The Bible said that the foundation be destroyed. What can the righteous do? Hey, if you don't have a solid foundation, what do you have to stand on? Well, if it's what you believe or what I believe, we liable to change what we believe by the end of the week. But if it's what God said, you can't say nothing against it. Unless you find yourself fighting against God, and you try that, you're going to lose. Why do I love my church? I love my church because of the foundation it stands on. This King James Bible is the authority. It is God's word. Amen. Amen. I love the preaching and the teaching that we get from this book, from all the preachers and lay people within this church that work and labor to do what they do. Amen. It helps my life and my family and my church grow in the grace of God. You know what God has done? God has fitly put it together. He's given us the right adult Sunday school teacher. He's given us the right Sunday school teachers and right in all the classes. Hey, God's given people around here that help iron sharpeneth iron and helping one another grow. Hey, and we're standing on the foundation of the Word of God that is sure and steadfast and unmovable. And I love it because of that. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Hey, thank God for the people God's put in the church. Thank God for the deacons. Thank God for all the Sunday school teachers, all the lay people, everybody that's involved in it. But you know what? The authority's God's book.
Amen.
I love it because what it stands on. Do you know what truth does? Truth gives assurance that produces confidence. Confidence. I've got confidence, what? In what God said. And truth gives me the assurance that produces confidence. Hey, you know what else truth does? It gives awakening that brings conviction. Hey, the Bible said they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. Do you know what that book would do? It would give me assurance and confidence, but it also give me conviction. Thank God the book convicts. Thank God that Bible, I could open it up, and when my life ain't lining up with God, it can show me I'm not right.
Amen.
I wouldn't go to a church that wouldn't open a book and tell me what's right because they're scared of offending me. Hey, tell me what thus saith the Lord. I want to be right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Show me where I need to get my life right and walk in the fear of the Lord and do what's right. Amen. If you don't have no fear of the Lord in you, something's wrong with your life.
Amen.
And if you can't go to a church where somebody's scared they're going to step on somebody's toes or offend somebody by taking that book with an open heart and a convicted heart and a loving heart and try to give them something that'll help their lives change, what in the world are we doing here anyhow?
Amen.
My life and your life was in a mess until the light of the Word of God convicted us of our wayward lives and caused us to repent and turn to God.
Amen.
Thank God for a Bible, amen, and conviction in preaching, amen. Yes, it gives confidence that produces assurance, or assurance that produces confidence, but it gives awakening that brings conviction, amen, and it also gives me enlightenment that guides my path. That old book, the preaching in that book, it'll show me what direction I need to be going. I ain't walking around in the dark no more. I walked around in the dark spiritually 21 years of my life. Hey, stumbling around trying to make it happen and make it work until the Holy Ghost came and convicted and rested my soul and God changed my life forever. Thank God I love my church because of the foundation it stands upon. Hey, I love my church, number four, because of the freedom in worship. Just like you're doing today, man. The singing is sweet, ain't it? And the sweet Spirit of God. Hey, it's hard to sit in a service like this and something not turning in your heart. Hey, man, that's God, man. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's liberty. Hey, man, I preached in many a pulpit, but there's no liberty like right here. And I thank God for that. And that's just bragging on what God has done and what God honors, which is His book. And people trying to do right, amen. Amen. Thank God for the sweet singing and the praise that's lively. Amen. Thank God for the sweet spirit. Amen. Hey, thank God for the old time way. Amen. It still works, right? Hey, look at this. We ain't looked at many verses a little bit different than what we usually do. Look in Jeremiah 6. Let me let you look at this one. Jeremiah 6. Amen. Hey, God is a convicting God. And thank God for the worship that he allows us to do. Amen. Thank God for the freedom in worship. Thank God for the old time way. You know what's going by the wayside? Old time worship. People don't like old time worship. They want some contemporary, new age, new thing that, you know, sparkles. Man, the sparkles die out, man. And the emotions are going to go away sooner or later. Thank God for emotions. Amen. Hey, but they're going to go away. You better have something solid. Amen. Hey, everything don't always look glittery. Brother Adrian. Some of my old timers coming in. He sent me a picture the other day, his arm like that, and the chemo needle in his arm. There ain't no glitter in that. Chemo pumped in your veins. And you're sitting there thinking, man, it's been a rough day today. Hey, you think the glitter's going to make it when that's happening? You think the glitter's going to make it when Miss Shelby's toes are turning upside down? Is the glitter going to make it when Miss Rhonda the other day, you know, was going to get something done with her eyes that she might lose her sight? Hey, glitter ain't going to make it, man, but this old book and the foundation of old-time worship will help you through. Yeah. That you know when you're serving a true and living God, and he's right no matter what. Yeah. Hey, what we've lost is old-time worship, amen. Yeah. Old-time singing of the songs of Zion and old-time preaching out of the old black book. That changes lives, amen. Yeah. Well, our fire and enthusiasm, amen. Look at Jeremiah 6. Look in verse 16. The Bible, look in verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Hey, the world ain't ashamed no more.
Right.
Hey, live like hell. It don't even bother them. Listen, I don't want to get too long on this old stinking, ugly, nasty world because I'm just trying to brag on the Lord today. But we live in a stupid world.
Right.
When people are offended by a toy potato... God help, man. What in the world? When Mr. Potato Head can't be a mister? When Coke tells his people that you got to be less white? Is that not registering in your brain that something is wrong with America? If something is wrong with our world? Amen. When you don't know whether you're a male or a female and you got to figure it out on the wing? When you can't look in a mirror and figure out what you are plainly? When you got to change your own mind and make yourself be something you're not. Man, our world has gone bonkers, man. For lack of better words, they've lost their God-given mind. And they ain't ashamed about it. Anything, they go straight against this book. And anybody that says the book, that's hate literature. God, how is that hate literature, thus saith the Lord? No, you hate it because it's against the grains of your life. What the old preacher said, the old lady walked out the door that day. She met him at the door and said, "Preacher, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way today." He said, "Well, turn the cat around. Because I ain't changing my preaching, man. Hey, what's right is right." And then Jeremiah knew it was going to happen. He said, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination?" Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And here's what he exhorts, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Hey, God tried to exalt them through the prophet. Ask for the old ways. Not only ask for them, but walk in them, and you're going to find peace with God. But they would not walk therein. That's the way the world's going. But thank God, I love my church, because the old time way, amen. The foundation stands on the word of God. And there's freedom in worshiping the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
You know what else I like about it lastly this morning? I like the faithfulness that it has to the lost. The faithfulness the church has to the lost. You know, what good would a church be if God's people weren't growing in grace and we weren't trying to reach a lost world dying and going to hell?
Right.
You that are in here to save today, us, we was on the other side of the boat one time.
Amen.
Floating around in the sea of life without hope and despair. And one day the old lighthouse shined a beacon our way and showed us a way to the shore, right? Somebody threw the old lifeline out to us when we were going under. Hey, man, you know what I love about my church? They're trying to throw out the lifeline. Hey, they do it through mission program and mission giving. Hey, we're always running out of tracks and sending out cards and witnessing to one another and telling somebody about God. Hey, thank God. That's why I love my church. They're concerned about the lost. They're concerned about people going to hell. They don't want to see another one drop off in eternity without God. They care about their loved ones that are lost. And they care about others' loved ones that are lost. And they care about strangers that are lost. And they care about friends that are lost. Hey, there's a desire to see people saved. Amen. Amen. They're going out in the highways and the hedges. And they're compelling them to come to God. I love the church for that. When we ever lose our desire to see people saved, we might as well shut the doors, man. But you know what? You ain't going to come around this church long and somebody ain't going to inquire about your soul.
That's right.
I want to know where you stand with God. And they're not trying to condemn you and make you feel bad, but they don't want you to die without God neither, because they know there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain.
Amen.
Everybody that leaves this world is either going to heaven or going to hell.
Amen.
And the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one that hung on the cross before all mankind, naked, and took our shame and bore our sin that we might be born again. You know, I love my church because they care about people like that. They don't want to see people go to hell. You know what? They don't nobody want to see you go to hell.
Amen.
And people that are watching online, thank God for it, we don't want to see you go to hell. You know why we stream it online? Because there's somebody out there that ain't going to come to church that just might listen and be born again. Saints of God that can't get out might get some help, amen. Hey, I love my church because of its faithfulness to the lost. Do you know what? I can't save nobody. And you can't save nobody. But I know a God that can.
Amen.
And they're going to sing that song. I've asked them to sing it. I asked them to sing it. They said, I don't know we sing that, but we'll try it. So they're going to sing it. And it's going to be your opportunity to come and do business with the Lord this morning. I know a man that can. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God spoke into your heart and you need to come today. You come. You listen to this song. This altar's open. Old time worship is still true. And there's a God that still saves and helps.